Hello, hello, guys. What is up? Today I want to talk about religions and dating. Now, a lot of religions, a lot of the mainstream religions, their texts were written in cultures and times where dating does not look like it does in the modern Western world. And I was talking to a friend, the other day, and, we're just talking about, whatever, cultural topics, the Bible, whatever. And we kind of just like, there's theories about all kinds of things, And, this topic kind of comes up about, the modern podcasters, kind of what you're seeing with guys like Fresh and Fit, Andrew Tate. I guess on the Fresh and Fit podcast, they made a comment and started going in about people being religious, it saying that if you're male and you're religious, you should not be religious if you want to follow whatever their kind of practice is. Now, they're not like a formal religion, but it seems like they have some kind of a belief system going where as a female, it's kind of hard for me to fully, like, I could say I can be open-minded towards it, but it does seem very, like, this is how I would describe kind of those guys in that kind of, I don't know what the name of that kind of dating or relationship content is called. It's like, it's kind of content for the modern male, the modern Western male, who's kind of stuck in, getting, I don't know if the word is a victim, but it's a bit of a victim of this system and this current economic climate, political climate. There are statistics going around that, the average non-married male in their 20s, 30s is having less sex lately than in past times when unmarried males would be just kind of sowing their wild oats. Dating in general has changed significantly since 2018. If I consider what dating looked like at 20 in the year of 2018 compared to like now, like I was a little bit younger too, but it was also like everything was cheaper. It was easier to do stuff. People were more free. People weren't working so many jobs. It was easier to meet people. People weren't moving all over the place. It wasn't like everybody you meet either just moved in or is just about to move out. It was different. There was a little more stability to meeting people, and it was a little more flexible. People weren't so strained. And now it's like, okay, if you take the hetero dating culture, when they have all of these rules and norms that people aren't comfortable budging from, which is another thing that I think the hetero straights kind of need to maybe look at, some of these gender roles and the strictness. I'm not saying that, like, people need to go, like, so far, but I'm just saying, like, the ego gets very attached to these roles. And I was making a comment to my friend where I was like, I'm a female, but I'm a little on the independent side. So if I were to date a cis, straight, hetero dude, I've had guys not be threatened. Threatened isn't the right word, but there's a cultural dynamic that happens where if I want to change a tire and I'm there with a guy, if we're on a date and I want to change the tire, that might become an issue if he knows how to change the tire. And especially if it's his car, he's probably going to change it. If it's my car, he's probably still going to like try his best to be the one who changes it for me. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that necessarily, because it's like, It's polite, it's respectful, it's a nice gesture. But if it was something domestic, some kind of domestic chore in the household or whatever, it would be like, oh, like it's in the kitchen, that's your thing, you know? And so I feel like it would be hard to go on a date with a guy, blow a tire, and then be like, I know how to change the tire, so let me just start working on it, changing it, you know? And if he wanted to step in, and if I declined and was like, no, it's okay, I'm gonna fix it, you know? And say if we're with his friends or something, then there's like this ego kind of situation that comes up where it's like, I'm doing something that's maybe it's not even a big deal. I'm trying to give an example. I'm not trying to make it like women can't change tires or whatever, and that every man's gonna feel like threatened or their ego's gonna puff up about it. But you know, in some scenarios, it would be like, okay, I would have to make that decision if I'm with a guy and he's like, oh, I'll change that for you. Let me do the work, or let me like get the work done for you so you don't have to get dirty, or you don't have to do that. Even though I know how to change the tire, you know, if he says that and we're with his friends or something, his guy friends or something, and they might be teasing him a little bit, like, oh, you're gonna let her change your tire or whatever, you know, it's like they might say something about it. And so it's like, to help him, I might have to take a back seat to that and be like, even though I really want to change this tire because I learned how to do it, I know how to do it, I'm already got all the tools in my hand, like why are we going to transfer the person working on it? I can do it in a couple minutes, let's just get it done. You know, he might decide that, you know, it's, you know, it might become an uncomfortable setting, you know. And I brought this up, you know, to my friend where I was kind of like, you know, this the these kind of like strict rules might make it hard in society for people when it's like, okay, you have more women that are trying to be more independent, getting more education. People are having a hard time affording kids, so getting married and having kids isn't, I'm not saying people aren't doing it, but a lot of people around me, a lot of females around me are focused on their careers. They're not so focused on, like, yeah, they want to date and stuff, but it's like they have to prioritize their careers and their money. And they're very smart and they went to school for a lot of things and they're very career driven. Even if in LA and San Diego and places like that, you're not making a whole lot of money compared to the cost of living. I know a lot of females that are still struggling, especially the ones who live alone, but they're making good money and they have good career opportunities. Just it's the area where we live that's making it a problem. So for them to try to find a guy that kind of cares equally about his career, will still want her to work, and she's gonna try to start a relationship while they're both working super hard and barely have time and energy for one another. And don't really have a lot of extra money to spend anyways, because you got to pay that super pricey $2,000 studio apartment rent. You know, it's going to be kind of hard to kind of even want to meet people. And then when you do meet people, it's, you know, hard. And then if you're not going Dutch on, you know, outings, and if you're traditional in a hetero relationship and you got this guy paying for all your stuff, a lot of guys nowadays don't have the money to pay for all these dates. And if they do, they don't want to spend it on all these dates. And I don't think they should have to, in all honesty. But then it's this other ego thing that kind of comes up. It's like, well, he's the man. So if the woman keeps paying, he might feel a certain way about it, or she might feel a certain way. Like, I've heard women say things like, he's cheap, he won't pay. Like, I don't think I have a lot of friends that are like that necessarily, but it kind of is there. It's kind of like a little bit there where it's like, you know, if one of my friends who's like a cis hetero woman met a guy and he was like, oh yeah, I just want to be like a house husband, I don't know, like I don't know if she would date him, or I don't know if the majority of my female friends would date a guy like that. And you know, a lot of my female friends want guys that have like financial ambition. And you know who doesn't? But I mean people aren't like, oh, I need a mansion, I need all this stuff, but just the society, and to make it work, you really have to have a lot of income out here. So I kind of understand, like, you know, when guys are saying things like, you know, they're fine. Like, what I'm seeing it as with these Fresh and Fit and Andrew Tates and all these kind of guys in these relationship podcasts are kind of talking about, when they're not being like misogynistic, or the part that makes me think that is not always 100% misogynistic is because of the reality of it. They're stuck in these roles. A lot of 20, 30, 20 to 30 year old, 20 something to 30 something year old guys nowadays can't afford a lot of things, you know. And so for them to try to attract the female with all of these rules that they're trying to use, like, say, if they have to be taller and more financially stable and paying for all these things more than the woman pays for it, it's like, to get to that status takes a lot nowadays for anybody, men or women. And so if a man kind of has to keep that role where it's like he can't even just be a house husband or making more less than the woman or not paying for all these dates, or saying, hey, like, we're gonna go out, but it's gonna be free, or saying, hey, like, we're gonna go out, but can you pay every other time? Which I think are logical things to say, but it's like, a lot of times guys can't say that. And the straight culture doesn't allow them to do that. And the reason why I say the straight culture is because when it comes to the non-straight culture, things get a little bit different because there is so much more flexibility. There are still those rules there from the heteronormative culture, but it's not the same exact thing. You know, if you got two guys going on a date, I don't think they're both gonna argue, like, what, who's taller, who's bigger, or broader shoulders or older is gonna pay. I mean, it's kind of like it doesn't really work like that. There's not like a hard and fast rule. Same with women. If two women are dating each other, there's not a hard and fast rule. And in the LGBT community in general, a lot of those gender role type of rules are a lot more flexible because people don't have, they don't always, some people do, but people don't always have this ego behind it. Like, oh, if you're like a masculine presenting female and you're dating a femme lady, you know, you somebody's gonna have to pay, but just because you're masculine presenting doesn't mean you're expected to pay. Kind of a little bit, but not really, not always. So it's kind of like, you know, there are these rules that are kind of like different. And so, you know, and so when it comes to dating in general, and these guys that are kind of on these podcasts that talk about all these dating kind of concepts, and I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to, like, I'm trying to look at it in a from a lens that kind of ties it all together, like conceptualizes it, 'cause I do kind of get it. Like, I have a lot of guy friends that aren't married that do date. I have a lot of female friends that aren't married that do date, and these are hetero people. And then I have a lot of friends that aren't hetero people that aren't married, don't have long-term partnerships, and they are dating. And I just know the worlds are completely different. And, you know, I think if straight people would kind of be a little more flexible with how their ego is attached to certain gender roles, they could probably have an easier time dating if people weren't so hung up on things. That's one thing that I kind of see, is because you kind of got to be willing to be flexible if certain things aren't just naturally working in your favor. And then I have a lot of female friends that are out there that are like, oh, I can't find a date. And like, but then the dates they go on, when I hear their complaints about the guys, I'm like, I don't really understand, like, how come they can't be flexible on certain stuff, you know? And then they wonder why they don't have a man. And it's like, well, some of those things that you were complaining about, like that he didn't pay for your dinner or he didn't buy you a drink, I mean, if you never discussed it, like, why are you assuming he's gonna do it? And then you're not gonna go out on another date with him because you each paid for your own meals separately? I mean, like, that to me isn't I don't know. Like in my mind, I'm like, that is fine. Like, why should, I mean, I know what tradition says and things like that, but it's like, why do you have to stick to that? If you really want to date somebody, is that what's going to make you not want to date them? It's just because you have to pay for your own food when you go out on dates and you're not getting treated? I mean, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, if you're an independent woman and you have a job and you have a career and you went to college and you're making money, why should somebody else have to pay for your stuff? You know, it's hard for me to really fully understand that. I don't fully understand that. And especially when the economy is really bad, I don't really see how that is an issue. And especially if there's a discussion about it where somebody's like asking, like, hey, can you please pay for this or bring this discount? This card will get a discount if you bring your student ID or like something that's a little flexible, you know. I don't think it's too much to ask, but I think a lot of people won't do it because it doesn't look good and society's not ready for that yet. I don't think society's fully ready in all parts of the Western world for that. I guess I started off talking about religion, about dating and religion, but I think it's also important to talk about the modern world too, because it's like, you know, dating and religion, you know, when it comes to somebody trying to be, trying to follow kind of what their religious texts kind of say, a lot of these texts, a lot of these religions, the texts were written so long ago that it's like they didn't really even have like, you know, a lens for dating. Like, dating wasn't really a thing. It was more like long-term or short-term arranged marriages, and then you just get married and deal with it. So you don't really see a lot of the courtship, the dating, the rules. Like, I think with some modern congregations in the Protestant church, I know the Adventist church has a book about, like, it's not about dating specifically, but it's called the Adventist Home, and then it has something about courtship in there. I'm pretty sure the Mormons have something like that. You know, there's a lot of these kind of religions that kind of have like some strictness to them where they kind of have people that they consider prophets that are writing texts and things, and they don't say that it's, they say it's like secondary to the Bible, but they'll still try to live their life according to this more like modern knowledge. So I do know that it exists, but it's not, I don't know. I would say that it's kind of like, because my youth pastor used to talk about this, and he would say, or maybe he's like a collegiate pastor, I don't know. I had him for a long time up until I was in college, so like he was there when I was in high school and in college, so he was like the young adult pastor for a pretty lengthy amount of time. And he kind of had a point, because it's like a lot of churches teach things about chastity, about all kinds of stuff that they teach, like all these like hands-off rules and like no kissing and those promise rings and all these sexuality type things where they're like limiting your sexuality experiences because according to some prophet or some biblical interpretation or some tradition, it's not okay to do these things. But I would say I knew a lot of people who were doing those things when I was younger. And we were all younger, and a lot of people I knew were kind of doing those things, and a lot of people weren't. Like, it was kind of normalized to not, you could be not like very sexual with people that you were attracted to or dating or kind of crushing on and stuff, or you could be more like sleeping with people and stuff like that. But there was still a taboo to it, but it was almost still seen like you're kind of cooler if you're kind of like having sex with people and like experimenting and things like that. Like, you know, I feel like that's how high schoolers think. Like, they want to do the most mature version of whatever it is. So when they're not doing the mature thing, what's the more mature adult thing, like drinking, because adults drink, and smoking, you know, adults smoke, You know, it's not, I don't think it's necessarily like, because I think that's where a lot of peer pressure comes from, is like, well, I think it comes from like insecurities and things like that too, but I think a lot of peer pressure comes from you know, just, you know, like people feeling the peer pressure. I think nobody wants to feel immature or behind, or more childish, so they try to prove themselves by doing these things that are maybe adult things, even if they're not like fully wanting to or ready to do it. Like if nobody was like pressuring them to do it or like inviting them to do it, a lot of people I feel like probably wouldn't have done a lot of things that they did. I'm not saying that they regret it, but I feel like the people who were experimenting with like sex and drugs and things like that, I feel like a lot of them probably wouldn't have done it if somebody else wouldn't have kind of like brought it up to them or something. I'm not saying people don't want to, and I'm not even making a judgment about it. Like, I'm not really too hung up on that kind of stuff. Like, it's not really something that's like that like a that like directly affects my life anyways. So, I don't know. I don't really think it's easy to kind of put together like a complete framework. Like if you take away the traditions of all those things I mentioned, like the promise rings and all the kind of like guilt tripping stuff that churches do, and other religions do things like that too, unless people are going to start arranged marrying their kids. I know there are cultures that do that, but you know, in Los Angeles, California, most Americans who don't have parents from other countries aren't really trying to like, you know, unless you have a family from another, like, kind of like a certain religion or some other kind of like ethnic background where that's what people usually do. I don't know that people are like actively like adopting it and like, oh, let's do more arranged marriages, but that would be an option for all this crisis of people getting married and stuff, or not being able to get married and not being able to, you know, have kids or want kids or afford kids, going back to these models where people aren't like, oh, you're 18, you don't live at home anymore, you got to get out and like have your full independence. That's another thing too, is like people moving back in with their families. If families were willing to be more flexible, if American families, if Western families that weren't from like immigrant backgrounds, like recent immigrant backgrounds, kind of adapted more towards what other immigrant groups do, where it doesn't matter how, I have a lot of friends from a lot of different places, and a lot of us live with our parents, and our parents will never kick us out. It's not, and it's not like a, oh, I'm using you kind of thing. It's like your family, why you're their kid. Like, why should you have to move? If you want to move, you can move, but you're not like forced to do it. And I know a lot of American Westerners can't really understand that, because they're taught you're 18, you move out. I was never raised like that, you know. I was raised by Africans, and that's not really like a thing with them. I have friends that are from Armenian culture, from Indian cultures, from different Asian cultures, and a lot of them live at home without any shame attached to it. Everybody's working, lives at home, and because LA is freaking expensive, and a lot of them live at home, and it's normal, you know. Nobody really says much about it. I've got other friends that they can't live at home, or they think it's like an ego thing where they can't really do it. But culturally, it's something that does work. And I'm not saying like you have a baby and get married and like have your parents raise your kids while you're out like partying all the time. It's like, I'm just saying like if the families were more. Or you can do it with roommates, but I don't know. Some I've told y'all about my roommate experiences. My family's a better option to live with than roommates, than any roommates I've had anyways. And you know, I'm not like planning on getting married or planning on like having children or anything, at least not anytime soon. It's not like actively part of my plans, but if I were to do it, living at home would be an option. There'd be more support there. And when I mean support, I don't mean using people or like taking advantage of them, but it's like, you know, my job options would be a lot more flexible because I wouldn't be concerned about childcare when I have a parent that's retired that's literally home all the time. You know, they could be available to watch a kid, you know, for a little bit if I had to go run extra errands or do extra things. The cost of living is split, you know, cheaper than getting your own house or your own apartment. You know, it's just, you know, there's a lot of benefit. Like, everyone kind of benefits in their own way, but then kind of loses a bit of themselves in the process. That's kind of, it's more of like, that's more of how, like, collective cultures think. It's more like you're doing what's best for all of the family, but it's like you're losing a little bit of yourself at the same time. Like, you're not completely independent. So if I'm living at home with my parents, I can't be completely just like, oh, let me, like, grow some marijuana in the background and, like, take a little bit of mushrooms, you know? Like, be all like high around the house and like smoking out with my friends in the backyard and stuff. Like, that's not gonna happen, you know? Like, there's certain like party mentalities and things that I know I'm not gonna be able to do. Certain movies I can't like publicly watch like in the living room because they'd be offended by the scenery or language or whatever. Like, there's certain stuff that it's like I kind of gotta like keep it to myself or do it outside of the house or whatever as an adult, you know? And certain things you got to deal with, like you're on the phone with your friends and your mom's like, dinner's ready, you know. It's kind of like, you know, there's certain little things that you got to give up a little bit of your freedom and your independence and just realize, okay, I'm living with my parents and it's their house, you know. I got to kind of follow their way of doing things versus if I have my own place, I can do whatever I kind of want according to the neighborhood and the neighbors, or if I'm sharing a wall with people or in an apartment or something. I can kind of adjust, but I would say, you know, our cultures don't look like they used to look, you know. And, you know, trying to like arrange marriages or like something with like some flexibility with the dating, like people with their roles and stuff. I think those two types of things, like the types of living environments that people choose for like their independence or like they're like having more of a collective culture, because I know a lot of people that even if they don't independently, I mean, if they don't like live with family, they're still gonna try to live with roommates. And so it's like it's just an affordable thing and it's pretty normal out here. I know in a lot of states it might not be very normal, but in Southern California I barely know any people that have their own place, and the people that I do know, it took them forever to get it. And the majority of the ones that have their own place, most of them can't even really responsibly or comfortably afford it. They are affording it, but it's like I almost never see them because they can't, they're too stressed because they're working so much so they can like live independently. You know, for some people, you know, they have like toxic families or, you know, they've had so many bad experiences with roommates and housemates, which I have, that I would understand if I couldn't live with my family. And I also couldn't live with roommates because I will not do that anymore. I would probably be in that same boat where it's like, yeah, like I've got to grind to the nail and lose sleep and work however many jobs, you know. But living with family does cut down on some of that, or even having roommates does cut down on some of that. And it's not ideal because you do still have to lose some of yourself to the household of people you're living with. Even if you're completely being independent, you can't just be doing jumping jacks at 2 in the morning or like having guests over when you want and having like video game parties and stuff. And like, you don't really have full freedom. If you're trying to actually be a respectful, polite, clean roommate or whatever, you know, and quiet and stuff, like, you can't do what you want whenever. A lot of people, unfortunately, all of them do whatever. Most roommates I've had, everyone just does what they want whenever. It's like, okay, they're awake, they want to blast their music. They'll do it, you know. They want to vacuum while you're in the middle of like an interview online, they'll do it. They want to blend their food or like yell at each other in the hallway or like whatever it is that they're doing. They're not considering other people. They're considering whatever they're trying to do. I mean, it's not always super bad, but it's like it can get pretty bad. A lot of times people might not really, do what they need to be doing. I mean, I have lived with people that were easy to live with, but like my first housemate in San Diego was he was easy to live with, and he had a young kid, and like it was fine. But the problem was, like, probably year two and a half of me being there, his mom moved in, and she was the issue. And we had less space because he was now sleeping in the living room, and his mom had his room, and she was like really rude, trying to interact with me, and was super toxic. And he was depressed and sleeping in the living room on the floor on his mattress all the time. And it was just the tension in the house alone with her neurotic kind of ways and things. Like, it got me out of there quick. I was like, bye. But I mean, if it when it was just me and him and his kid would come every few days, like, it was fine. Like, we got along fine. I didn't like living with people. I was stressed out, but he was fine to live with. Like, it wasn't like an issue. He never did anything against me. I would say they played video games late at night, but I kind of bypassed that by kind of blasting a fan, just to kind of drown out the noise, and that helped me enough to kind of just go to sleep. So other than that, other than like the noise levels at night, because I'm a very, very, very light sleeper, other than that, that's the only complaint I had about him, other than until his mom moved in, then it was just crazy for all of us. But and those kind of things, you can't tell somebody don't move your mom in if they're the one, it's their apartment, or the apartment's under their name or something, and you're renting out from under them. It's like, it's not your place, like, you gotta, it's his family, it's his place, I'm renting from him, but also you gotta do what's best for yourself. And I think, so let's go back to these fresh and fit type guys, these relationship people. A lot of them are so concerned about having multiple women. They want like three, four girlfriends or something, and like, they're trying to like help guys to get all these ladies and be able to sleep with as many women as they want, and kind of like not really treat people right. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not even trying to take some kind of stance on people sleeping with other people, when they're not married. I mean, that's their choice. Like, if you choose not to do it, or you choose to do it, I mean, there's going to be a cost and benefit either way, doing it outside of marriage or doing only inside of marriage. Like, there's going to be a cost and benefit on every way. It doesn't matter what the religions say. It's at the end of the day, those types of choices are your own choices. But at the end of the day, there are some choices in religions where, they are more taboo. Like, sexuality is way more taboo than like gossiping. Like, if you gossip, nobody's going to be like, oh my gosh, you gossip. Like, somebody's going to like allow you to do it, like. But if you're like a very promiscuous person and you're sleeping with a whole bunch of people, people might give you a bad reputation for that, more so than even gossiping. Even though I feel like gossiping is probably way worse for everyone around you than if you're just like privately sleeping with people and it's just between you and all the people that you're sleeping with. Like, it usually doesn't affect, unless you're sleeping with all your friends, but I mean, like, it wouldn't really make much of a difference if you're just sleeping with people locally and stuff. Like, and you're being responsible and respectful, and it's consensual, and like, maybe you don't want a relationship or whatever. It's like, that's, I don't see how that would really affect, unless you're like getting involved with people and it's like really toxic, and then you come to your friends and you're always like crying and complaining about how bad it is. And it's like, well, maybe stop meeting so many people if they're all bad, but I can't really see how, other than maybe psychologically, emotionally, like the toll that kind of takes on a person, and kind of like there can be negatives to it. But it's like, also, I've seen people in marriages that are completely unhappy, and they either have like a sexless marriage, or they have a marriage where they do, have, relationships together, a good relationship together, but there's no like sexual chemistry, and then the communication might not be good too sometimes. So in those kind of scenarios, it's like you got to work on all that kind of stuff. And I the way I see it, just the flexibility. If people were willing to be more flexible on some things, I think they'd be able to get more towards what they're trying to get. But, you know, for my female friends who aren't flexible about the guys, and if the guys aren't flexible about what these women have going on, and then, you know, you got people like Fresh and Fit telling everybody to like stop being religious so they can get as many women as they can because it's not attractive to women to be like in a religion or something. I mean, it's kind of like weird stuff, but I don't know. Like, I think it is hard out there for everybody who's trying to date. For people who are married, I'm seeing that it's hard too. I think people need to get good and comfortable with communication. And if, like, if you've ever had someone in your life that you're not comfortable communicating with, and you know what that feels like, where you're like, I don't feel safe communicating with this person, and they can't even handle a conversation about that. It's like trying to even get past that barrier with someone that you're into or married to. It's like that alone is already like a super hard thing to have to deal with. And it's draining. And it's like you still gotta go to work, even if you're arguing all the time and stuff. You still gotta get other stuff done and try to keep this relationship going. And, you know, some people don't do very well with like emotional social stress. I'm one of those people. I'm like, you know, I don't do very well with people who are very insensitive, like having very insensitive people around me. I don't do very well with that. So when I'm around those kind of people, like I can't even imagine like dating somebody like that, but when I'm around those kind of people, I'm just like, I don't even want to be around them. Like, I have certain family members that, you know, if I have meals with them and stuff, and we'll just be at the table together and eating, and, you know, they'll start saying insensitive stuff to, like, other people, like maybe their kid or their wife or whatever, and I'll just get up and leave. Like, I don't even want to witness it, and it's not even me they're talking to. You know, it's like, I don't really like being around that kind of thing, and, you know, either firsthand, secondhand, whatever. I don't like drama of any kind. I like to be able to discuss things and not feel like I should feel bad about what it is that I'm experiencing and trying to explain to somebody else. I'm not big on blaming people. Pretty careful about how I choose my words, especially if it's like a sensitive topic. You know, I kind of know how to not make it escalate, but some people, you know, can't even be comfortable, you know, like, and I think one thing I've noticed with a lot of religious groups is that, you know, because there's so much taboo with so many topics and things, people learn how to like shove stuff down, not share. I know somebody once who went to a church group, who, you know, they're like, oh, let's talk about our weeks, let's talk about our lives. And if you're not part of like Protestant, maybe even Catholic, like youth group culture, like a lot of these groups, you kind of know that you can't just be open and sharing. You kind of know that you can't really form like a deep community with them because they don't allow it, they don't want it. Now, I'm not saying that's the majority. I don't really know because I've had about 50-50 when I was involved with groups like that. I would say there were groups that I felt way more comfortable sharing around where people listened. They weren't like, at least if they were telling everybody what I said, I never heard about it, and I never hardly heard other people talking much negatively about other people. When we were around, we would like hang out, like the good experience groups, you know, we would hang out, we would talk about things, but it was kind of hard to get deeper with a lot of people because they weren't comfortable with like sharing deeper things. But I do think that does need to happen for relationships to have more security to them, but you don't always have to be sharing like the most deep thing like all the time, and that's the only conversation you have. Like you can have like stupid, silly conversations, fun conversations. Like it can be like all kinds of variety of conversations. I mean, I even have a lot of friends that I feel like We can have a lot of deep conversations. There's like a level of intimacy there that's not even a sexual thing. And I'm like, man, like those are the types, like I'm not interested in any of them, but those are the types of people that I'm like, I wish it was easier to find those types of people and that I was actually interested in them more. Like I don't really find that many people that I kind of have that kind of like, okay, we can kind of talk about anything and we don't really have to fight about it. We kind of learned how to understand each other. And yeah, it takes a while, it takes some years to get there, but there's like a safety and trust there where it's like we can kind of tell each other like, hey, this is what's going on in my life. And it's not like constant, like my life sucks, like every day we talk, I want to tell you how sucky my life is. It's more like, we can kind of like discuss things on a pretty deep level. And I'm not like I don't know, like it takes a while to find people that you can kind of have that with. And I think on in my personal experience, what's been going on is so many people move, because it's like I've met a lot of cool people dating and all kinds of things, and just the fact that either I had to move or they had to move, it's like eventually it kind of came up where it was like one of us was in a scenario where we got to start making more money 'cause everything's getting more expensive, and it's like, oh, I got to move to like study and like have more energy to study, so I got to live somewhere else now so that I don't have to pay as much, or like people moving because their rent's been hiking up like hundreds of dollars a month that they're paying more now than compared to before. And so people are considering, they don't want to move and change jobs and change friend groups and like change their community. But a lot of times I've noticed in my Southern California world, that's very, very common where people are moving out. So I have met a lot of really cool people, but it does make dating harder too, because it's like, okay, are they gonna move? Like, are they gonna stay? Like, what's going on? Like, I don't meet that many people lately that have been wanting to stay. And I've probably dated some people that I thought were a good fit. Now, were we the same religion? I don't know if I've ever dated somebody who's like, who I would say is the same religion exactly. I don't even think I really claim a religion in general. I mean, I practice certain beliefs and certain things. It's hard for me to like put a title on it, because I think if I say I'm this religion, people would assume a whole bunch of stuff that I don't want people to assume that about me, because I don't agree with it, or I don't practice things that way, or I don't see things that way, and it's a big part of some of those religions. So things like that. Like, I'm not Muslim, but if it would be almost equivalent to being like, okay, I believe in, like, when I see my Muslim friends and I see how they practice the religion of Islam and how they live their lives based on what, the texts say, as far as like the social aspects of things and how they treat people, I love how beautiful it is and how I've seen them be. But I wouldn't call myself a Muslim, but I try to take on some of those kind of practices because I'm like, I never learned anything like that when I was growing up Christian. I wasn't around people who could be like that, who were comfortable and, kind of, were so aware of how to kind of be like a really sensitive, open person. I wasn't really around those kinds of people. And, so when I was around it with Muslim friends, I was like, I love this and I want to try to do that more. I wouldn't say I'm very good at it, but I mean, like, it's something that I've actively tried hard to try to incorporate more into my life, but I'm not a Muslim. I don't like adhere to the Quran. I don't, try to do the five pillars. I respect them. I'm not gonna do Hajj. I'm not gonna pray five times a day. I've read the Quran before. I respect it. I think there's a lot of good lessons. I feel the same way about the Bible. I feel the same way about almost everything I've read, that it's like there's a lot of good to take out of it, even if I'm not gonna claim that label. So that's kind of my general explanation, is like I try to take the stuff that I feel like is going to help me and help others around me. By the way I treat them, people will know that I'm trying hard. And a lot of it I do learn from religions, different religions, or just people that are of different religions and the way they do things. I kind of look at a lot of cultures like that, and I see, like, okay, some of the people I meet from India, some of the people I meet from Japan, they're pretty healthy. So let me kind of take on some of their dietary, foods and stuff, and incorporate more fish and vegetables and spices and things into my diet. Things that I wouldn't learn maybe from my own culture, right? And then I see, the Adventist culture, and I'm like, okay, they typically live maybe 7 years longer than the average American because of, the exercise and the balanced, like, week and the, community and the, health, the healthy choices and what they like. They're a little more conscious about the foods they eat. So on average, they have, a higher lifespan, and I think Loma Linda is considered a blue zone, and I think the Adventists have a lot to contribute toward that. And I look at things like that, like, try to see things, okay, like, these people do this, but how I was raised, or the people I was around, or my culture, or the religion I was raised in, they don't really do that. But it's like, I see the way that that seems to work better than what I was taught. So I do try to take on things like that, but I wouldn't say it's for, like, a religious reason. And so, yeah, like, it's kind of hard to just be, like, claiming something, because I don't, I claim something to myself, but I don't really say it out loud, because it's like, it's a little, I'm not ashamed of it. It's just, every religion comes attached with a lot of baggage. I don't want a lot of that stuff attached to me. I don't want a lot of, if I say a label, people are gonna assume, oh, you're this. Just like, okay, something that's interesting. If I say that I'm black, people are gonna assume things about me, right? But it's interesting that on my resume, without, looking at LinkedIn or anything, on my resume, I don't seem black to a lot of people. And so when I get interviews for things, I've seen people be shocked that I was black. And so it's like, they already attached some kind of other culture to me just by looking at my resume. And then it goes vice versa. It's like, if somebody sees me and they think certain things about black people, they're already gonna, their judgment about me or their ideas about me are gonna be clouded through the lens of whatever they're looking through. It might be more rose-colored, it might be more clouded. Who knows? It depends on what their opinion is. And I don't really like to use certain labels in public platforms because I understand the power of those labels, and it's like, I don't want people, I think people can kind of assume, like, I think it's easy to assume, like, what stance I'm usually coming from just by the amount of things I record about certain stuff. But I mean, because I do record what's kind of interest to me, but I do kind of like to put a lot of variety out there, and that's kind of why I wanted to talk more about dating and relationships, because I do see these relationship podcasters out there, and as a female, I think I'm one of the, usually I think females who comment on those kind of podcasts, like those specific types of guys who are kind of, I would say that they're overall misogynistic. They don't believe in equality. They want to be, they want to dominate their women in a way that's not, it does not seem healthy to me. But I do want to talk about some of those things that they express, even though I don't believe in it. Like, I don't believe in that kind of dating. People can kind of do what they want to do, but, I don't think it's healthy, all the stuff that they say. The way that they kind of, like, bash women and things. I'm not saying that they're, like, not hetero guys, but it's like, I wonder how much they actually like and love women. They don't seem like they respect women very much, so it's kind of weird to see. They're trying to teach other people how to, like, be dominant, and not just that, but getting over on people. And, like, I don't really see that as okay in any kind of a relationship dynamic. It doesn't matter what gender you are. But I do think that they do discuss important topics. I don't find it to be very approachable. It's kind of a turnoff, but I've got to respect that they've got the attention of a younger male audience that I think they could do a lot of good if they kind of were able to kind of be more of mentors versus like, okay, here's how to like, get what you want, and not really consider other people, because I guess they're trying to say that like, if you're a guy and you've got a lot of money, women are using you for your money, and then so why not kind of use them for what you want? And like, they're not talking about like abuse or anything, but they're just saying like, try to get what you want out of it because they're getting what they want out of you, kind of thing. But I feel like, okay, well, have communication about it then. You don't have to like try to be all sneaky and weird about it. I don't know if they condone cheating. I know they condone like multiple partners. I don't know if they condone cheating. I don't really see issues with poly dating. I don't really see an issue with that. Like, if you're not married and you're not, with somebody who's permanently telling you how your relationship's gonna be, and you guys are deciding that together, I don't really see, like, with dating, I've never really seen much of an issue with like polyamory, because it's consensual. It's not like people a lot of times don't understand polyamory, but it's like, if you're dating one person and you haven't had this talk about we're exclusively dating and like we can't date other people, why can't I go date other people? Like, what's wrong with that? I don't see anything wrong with that. You're not like beholden to like the first person that you meet and just wait around for them to make a decision. And what if you meet some other cool people along the way, but you're like, but I met that first person. I mean, it's probably a lot easier to stick with one, but I mean, I don't, unless that person is gonna be like hurt by it, but it's like, I think you're allowed to date, I think when things start getting more serious with even just one person, that's when there might need to be more of a discussion if you want to do other things. If you want to still keep dating around, maybe they're your number one, but you want to keep dating around, I mean, that's more of a sticky kind of conversation. If you're married and doing that, I don't really know what I think. Because I know back in the day, like, there were a lot of men that had multiple wives. The only real modern example I have of that is this Western is Mormons. Not like the very, very, there's a certain type of Mormon. I think I heard the stat was like 1%. It's not like a high percentage. There's a very small group of Mormons that do that. But they're in the like the modern Western world. I don't know how modern they live, but they're in Utah, usually. I think they might be in other places too, but there aren't that many groups that do that. I know there's some Saharan groups, some groups in Africa, some groups in the Middle East, that their religion, condones it. But you also have to be able to afford that. And I think it's hard for like an American person like me to kind of like fully wrap my head around it, because it's like we aren't really like taught about how to kind of make that work. We have enough, I mean, our divorce rate's over 50%. We can't even do one person, so why would we add four? Like, it doesn't really seem like it would be a good option, but I don't know. Like, I do think relationships are getting harder, for people in them. People have done a lot of soul searching over the last years with the Rona, and it's gotten pretty different and pretty difficult and pretty challenging for a lot of people to kind of figure out, hey, I want to do this now. It's gotten pretty different. So, with that, I think I'm done. I didn't talk a whole lot about detailed religions. I kind of just wanted to freestyle. this one. But yeah, I mean, I think that's the only thing I can think of is if people were more flexible in the hetero world, they would have a lot more opportunity. 'Cause I think the way that they're so rigid, like males aren't really willing to kind of like, adjust their roles and their ego around their roles, and females aren't really willing to adjust their roles or their, egos around their roles. I think that limits some people. Just with the people I've spoken to, I think that's what I've noticed limits them. I don't know if that works for everybody, but I've noticed that that works for them. And I'm not even having like a gender identity conversation or like a gender presentation. This isn't even like a topic along those lines. I mean, it's embedded in there, but I would say, it's not really something that is supposed to be like impossible. Other groups can do it, but I do think that the cis hetero group of straight daters, that's probably the most strict group of dating. All the other groups aren't that strict. All the other types of, sexualities and genders, aren't really that strict. So, and I think in a lot of ways it kind of works in their favor, but they've got other things to deal with too. So it's like, it's not, nobody's got it perfect on any end, but yeah, guys, hopefully you like this topic. I like talking about relationship topics. They're kind of fun for me, but I don't know. But I might talk more about some LGBT topics too. I feel like it's an extra layer to add on to here that I don't really know if I really want to throw it in because it's more variables to add to the picture. And yeah, it's just a lot to try to add in, but I think it would be, worthwhile, definitely including more LGBT culture and more cultures that aren't just the Western normative cultures, I definitely believe in all kinds of diversity, so I don't want to like leave anybody out, but I'm also not trying to like start debates and like cause arguments and like say things that people are going to be all like, concerned about. But I mean, it's my podcast, I can say what I want, right? So I don't really know. I mean, if you guys don't like certain topics, I just assume you just don't listen to them. I mean, I've got a variety on here. I'm not going to record only about the same thing all the time. And there's all kinds of people listening, so I want to be able to kind of, be, well-rounded. I'm not very closed-minded. I feel like I'm way more closed-minded when I record on here. Just 'cause I know a lot of there's kind of a lot of churchy people connect to like church connected to churchy environments that kind of listen, which is fine. I'm not saying don't listen. I want everybody here, but I also don't want to cause chaos. I feel like it's hard, people get emotionally invested in certain topics, and it's like I'm not really trying to create some kind of like emotional stress. I want people to come here and be able to just kind of listen and like chill and not be all like, oh, like I can't believe you're talking about that. But it's like I think we have to talk about all kinds of things. It's theory and theology. It's not like one religion, one group, one thought process. It's all of the groups. Everybody should be represented here. That's how we learn. Everybody should be learning from everybody else. And I would assume that people who tune in on here, they tune in because they like open-minded topics. Just because I'm saying something doesn't mean that I'm right. I'm just saying kind of the perspective I've kind of gathered and kind of taking different angles on it. I do actually have a lot of strong stances about a lot of things, about what I do for my own self, but I mean, I don't really care what other people do for the most part. If they're not doing like illegal things that are going to directly affect me or my friends or family, or the society that I live in, you know, if they're not really directly affecting something negatively, then like I really don't care that much. As long as they're okay. I want everyone to be okay and have happy days and feel represented. So, all right, with that, I gotta get home. I'm cold.